Hello and welcome. It's hour number two of our radio show. Now, before we tell you what's coming up this hour, a programming note that we will have the fifth hour podcast with me, Ben Maller, debuting today, and the Friday podcast, a conversation we catch up with one of our former colleagues here at Fox Sports Radio. He's now the radio engineer for the LA Clippers and the LA Kings. Stay awake with Jake. And now I'm done. Jake Warner stopping by, a rare and appropriate appearance on the Fifth Hour podcast today. Available wherever you get your podcasts, like right here where you found this podcast. So Thursday night NFL this hour. What stands out about the Browns win wire to wire over the Denver Broncos? We discussed the Thursday night NFL game and that and more right now in hour number two. Some warm brownies on the menu. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side, your radio friend, in the air everywhere as we tear up the pea patch coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from another dimension, a dimension of only sound and mind to the boundaries of imagination, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location in the North Woods. Was this a Waterloo moment? What is this? Announce your pronouns. We're talking football. Our lead this hour comes from the NFL. It was a not ready for prime time matchup. It kicked off week 7. We're already in week 7. Of course, they play 18 weeks, so there's a lot of football to go. But week 7 on the schedule, the reeling, tattered Broncos against the injury-ravaged Browns. Both teams coming in 3-3. Joe Buck taking advantage of the schedule. Of course, we know that the TV executives worked in cahoots to make sure Joe Buck could do the Thursday night game, so they had the day off in the American League Championship Series. So Joe stopped on his way to Houston. He stopped going from Boston to Cleveland, and then he'll have to change planes 5 times, and he'll eventually end up in Houston. But Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on hand in the catbird seat to watch every riveting moment of Cleveland and Denver. And the Browns without quarterback Baker Mayfield, also without Nick Chubba-Lub-Lub, he's gone. Kareem Hunt not playing. Several other key players, offensive line guys injured, dinged up. So if you didn't see the game, I watched flipping back and forth, multitasking between the National League Championship Series and the football game. The good thing is, the way the football game played out, I didn't miss anything. In the football, did not. So don't worry, we watched, so you wouldn't have to worry about it. This is the cheat sheet, if you will. So we had somebody named D'Ernest Johnson, not Ernest, D'Ernest Johnson, the third string running back, never heard of him, who rumbled and stumbled for 146 yards, and Cleveland overcoming a short week. And a laundry list. We gave you the big names there. Star players, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, all those guys out. And they squeeze past Denver, thanks to the hair on their chinny chin chin, 17-14 the final. In a game they never trailed. The Browns never trailed in this game. Of course, the Broncos never led. So let's discuss the question. What stands out about the Browns' win over the Broncos? So I've got the clock keeper, Darwinism, and Thanksgiving. And we will tie all of these things together. And we'll form a Maller monologue. Now, A, is this a Waterloo moment? The better story is in the losing locker room. And it's like that old song, you're riding high, and then you're shot down. The Broncos riding high in September, 3-0. Remember the power rankings after the first 3 weeks of the season? The Broncos right near the top in every power ranking. Teddy Bridgewater had arrived, blah, 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 blah. And now they've been shot down to reality here in the month of October. Sometimes you're the dog, And sometimes you're the fire hydrant. I think we know which one the Broncos are at this time. The dogs are barking in Mile High. The Broncos are running with scissors at this point. It's not going well. It's not going well. And that brings us to the curious case of Uncle Vic. He's not my uncle. He's not your uncle. He's Uncle Vic. And he's the guy in charge on the sidelines there in Denver. And you gotta be joking. He needs Vic Fangio, a clock keeper, because the doomsday clock is a ticking. Tick tock, tick tock. And this is certainly not gonna quiet down. Now, my producer, Koopa Loop, was out in front on this story. And he said, if the Broncos do not beat Cleveland as a lifelong Bronco fan, he recommended that Vic Fangio and the entire coaching staff stay in Cleveland and do not go back to the Mile High City. And when you're right, you're right. Watching this game, wow. Wowzers. I know you didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but it's pretty straightforward here. It's pretty straightforward that he's not getting fired today, but his days as coach in Denver are numbered. They are, you know, Xing off days on a calendar. Mediocrity of Mile High. Blah, blah. They blow. Unless Denver can line up some more cream puffs, and they've got a few of them on the schedule, but not enough. I looked at the Broncos schedule here, and I didn't see enough cream puffs on there to get to a record to make the playoffs. Barring some kind of dramatic turn, but you talk about lowest of the low and doing the limbo. You're telling me you could not beat a team that was lacking its QB1, its running back one, its running back two, and a key lineman out? You had Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry dinged up. That's got to be rock bottom, right? It's got to be rock bottom. Talk about emasculation situation. Now, part B of this, on the other side, just for a second on the Browns here, can't totally dismiss this, the question will be raised, can Case Keenum and D'Ernest Johnson keep the Browns marching? Well, they really haven't been marching recently. They've had some terrible performances. But to answer the question, yes, yes, we saw a snapshot of that in this game. Now, granted, Denver is heading to a deep, dark place. They are all thumbs, right? I mean, they are all thumbs here, the Broncos. They are a limp dish rag on offense. But the Broncos defensively, I know Von Miller left the game with injury, but they've got some name brand players on that defense. Not that it really matters all that much, but yeah, Cleveland can skate by. You can get by. The reason I bet on the Browns, we did Benny versus the Penny, I took the Browns in that game, was because of Case Keenum. Now, it turned out he wasn't actually all that good, but Denver was bad. The rules of Darwinism apply. You adapt or you die. And Cleveland has interchangeable parts. The Browns' defense, that's the story here for Cleveland. That's why they can stay afloat, not because of Case Keenum or D'Ernest Johnson. But the Browns' defense, I saw them get pantsed. There was a public flogging. I was at the game in L.A. when the Browns played the Chargers. And it was ridiculous. It was like a Big 12 game. Yeah, you know, it was just insane how many up and down and up and down. Everyone gets a touchdown. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. And then the indignity, the shame of Cleveland as they allowed Alligator Arms Murray, that little bug on the rug, to light them up as well. And here we are. If the Browns defense gets back up to speed here and play more incompetent offensive teams, then sure, you can win with an average offense. You absolutely can. Got to have a little versatility. Case Keenum, I'm not going to lie. I expected more. This was he's a baseline quarterback. He played much worse than I anticipated in this game. He did have the touchdown, which was big. Obviously, look at the difference, the 3 points, but that touchdown was massively important. But he's a Jag. He's just got to be a Jag. Not a Jacksonville Jag, just a guy. Just a guy. You don't need Baker Mayfield was nothing special. This idea that Baker Mayfield, because he does a lot of commercials, was amazing. No, he wasn't. You know, Case Keenum, it's a lateral move. You can be okay. I mean, Case Keenum's not as good as Baker Mayfield in some areas, But in other areas, he's better. And D'Ernest Johnson, I'd never even heard of this guy before a couple days ago, and now he has made a name for himself. Is he going to be one of the great one-hit wonders? Remember the Patriots? A couple years ago, there was a game against the Colts. I believe it was a primetime game, and there was a running back that had come out of nowhere and ran for, I think it was like around 200 yards, if I remember correctly, and then he just vanished after that. Is that going to be D'Ernest Johnson, or will he have a second act? And we'll have to see. I mean, what does the future hold here? Well, it looks like Kareem Hunt's not going to play anytime soon, so it's really dependent on Nick Chubb. Chubba-lub-lub, these are the cherished players. And Cleveland, on the running game, they didn't miss a beat. And D'Ernest is out there running over people like a poor man's Derrick Henry. The only thing the Browns did poorly in this game, for the most part, was penalties. A lot of penalty, and 9 penalties in the game. And so that's an area of weakness. But the running game, man. All right, now last word. So let's circle back to Denver because, again, that's the better story. If you didn't watch the game again, you would say, if you're a box score reader, that the Broncos defense played well. I mean, come on. They only gave up 17 points. You give up 17 points, you got to win that game in the modern NFL. Well, guess what? If you believe that, you're wrong. That motley crew of Brownies, which we've just gone through, methodically controlled the game. Cleveland, with second and third string players, put up 376 yards of offense. 376 yards of offense. Case Keenum, a guy that hadn't played as a starter in a couple of years, he didn't play well, but he won. He was the quarterback that won the game. He was on the field, and he didn't screw it up. He didn't F it up where he lost. But that motley crew controlling the game, 376 yards of offense, 182 yards on the ground. The Browns averaged 5.5 yards per carry with a third, fourth, and fifth string running back, a cadre of backups. And then you have the Broncos offense. Pat Shurmur, he must have compromising photos of someone to keep getting these jobs, this Pat Shurmur. His play calling is as fresh as and dynamic. If you were to take an old dusty playbook from the 1970s or 80s and bring that back, that would be Pat Shurmur. The Browns, just give me an idea of how shockingly terrible Denver is on offense. The Browns, the last 2 weeks, gave up 84 points and over 800 yards of offense against Arizona and L.A. The Broncos had 14 points and 223 yards of offense, and we're lucky to get to that. If you saw the first half, I think they were a little over 70 yards in the first half. They were lucky even to get to those numbers. So I have a perfect analogy for the Broncos offense. It's a Thanksgiving theme, right? If you love Thanksgiving, one of the great side dishes is the name of the Broncos offense. It's called stuffing. The Broncos, that's what they don't stuff the other team on defense, but their offense gets stuffed right at the line of scrimmage. And Teddy Bridgewater, what happened? He was averaging 9 yards, 10 yards a pass, whatever it was, the first 3 weeks of the year. And now what the Broncos do is they run a couple of plays, get stuffed at the line of scrimmage, and then Bridgewater will drop back, throw a pass. He'll complete the pass just short of the yard-to-gain marker, the down marker there, just a little bit short. And I'm an advocate for Bridgewater. I support Bridgewater starting. He's making me look like a donkey. He is. Is he stuck in medieval times? 5.7 yards per pass. The Broncos had 15 first downs. A professional football team against a defense that was completely flummoxed in the last couple of games. And all of a sudden, voila. So I would like to recommend now that since Vic Fangio will not be fired right now, they're going to wait a little while, conservative Broncos, they should sack Pat Shurmur, and I have the perfect offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. May I nominate Parker the Snow Dog to call plays? Now, you might think I'm kidding and I'm just being goofy and all that, but Parker the Snow Dog would be an upgrade. Looks good on camera, respectful, beloved with the Bronco fans, passionate about the Broncos. and he knows his stuff, Parker the Snow Dog. So I vote for Parker the Snow Dog.
Finito. Done.
Yeah, let's make that happen. We got to make that happen.
Well, let's talk football, not drama. Yeah.
No, the Broncos' offense is finito, and they are absolutely dunskies. No question about it. Well, here is Vic Fangio. For now, he is the coach of the Broncos, and he points out that the real problem is the mirror, mirror on the wall.
We got to rally. We've got to overcome our injuries. They can't use them as excuses, and we've got to get back to playing better football as a team. We just got to play better. We got to coach better. No, I don't want to be remiss in saying that. We've got to coach better, and we've got to adjust to what we have right now.
So that tells
I thought it was kind of bull.
Yeah, that is a bull blank answer. So it appears he went and read like sportscliche.com. So I got to come up with a cliche. What is my go-to cliche going to be? And got to play better, got to coach better, got to do it, right? Which is a standard boilerplate cliche. Now, what about Teddy Bridgewater? Another brass ring opportunity for Bridgewater to be a starting quarterback. And that has already gone up in smoke, it would appear, through 7 weeks of the NFL season. And here is Bridgewater, who says, listen, he's a positive human being. He wants to focus on positivity.
It's so easy, man, in this league and in life, man, when things don't go well for you, you try to latch on to the group of people who are doing well, having success, or you try to huddle up in little cliques and point the finger. And you don't see that, you know, in that locker room. And that's why I respect the man in those locker rooms. I respect him as man and as players in this game because, you know, it's so easy to be negative. It's so easy to blame this person, that person. But we all just circle up and we say it's on us.
Yeah. Well, it is on all you, but you're the quarterback. What is that? Yeah. All right. So you're all positive and you all positively suck. Okay. Congratulations. It is the Ben Maller Show. We'll take your phone calls here, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369, if you would like to be part of the program. Also available on Twitter. You can give us real-time feedback. We may even read your comments on the air. There is no guarantee. There's a lot of people that give us feedback, and we randomly select a handful of people. And we'll read those throughout the hour. And maybe yours will rise to the very top there. Could happen. But send us a message at Ben Maller on Twitter. You can be part of the festivities. So it is time to find a new baker. It is time to find a new baker. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Coochie. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Damn!
Friday!
Thank God it's Friday!
Bye, Felicia.
Este!
That I saw her boobs, now I'm a believer.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones. He is the liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. Coming up in the final hour of the show, he will have the Coop Scoop on Entertainment. He is Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And we'll get back to the calls momentarily. A lot of reaction flowing in. Many people, though, say, what about Coop? What does Coop think? So, Coop, you want to give us your five thoughts here, Coop? Your five thoughts? Or just why about one thought on the Broncos? Did you watch the game, Coop? Did you turn it off at any point? It was a close game in the second half. It came back.
Yeah, I watched the game, but you already gave my thoughts.
Oh, all right. You didn't have any addendum to that? You just, yeah. So you fired Vic Fangio, and that's it.
No, I mean, Fangio sucks, and he should get fired, but honestly, I don't know how much better another coach would do. Maybe, you know, maybe the offense would run better, but as far as like the defense goes, I mean, there's been so many injuries, and these guys that they've, you know, the backups that they've brought in are garbage. Like the entire linebacking core is hurt. Bradley Chubb's been out. Josie Jewell got hurt, gone for the season, torn pec. Alexander Johnson gone for the season, torn pec. And then Von Miller got hurt this game. It's just, I don't know. These guys can't make any tackles. They suck. So I don't know how much better another coach
would do. So they just keep Big Fangio because your team blows. That's it, right? Why change coaches if it's a hopeless situation?
Well, because the offense should be doing better. The play calling is garbage.
Archaic? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Coop. Double O Mexican says B+ on the Maller monologue. The Broncos are who we thought they were when everyone was crowning them for beating the scrubs of the NFL. Didn't you, Maller, pick them to make the playoffs? Bad job by you. Well, listen. When I made that analysis, that was the proper analysis at the time I made it, and some things have gone sideways on me since that hot take. Milkman Mike says, great monologue on the zombie Broncos. He's in Colorado, Milkman Mike. They are just going through the motions right now, and terrified Teddy can't seem to get out of his own way. The fire in their bellies is as cold as the temperature in the mountains. All right, shots fired. J. Dot in Utah says, has anyone done a wellness check on Koopa Loop? Well, yeah, we just talked to him after the fourth straight loss. Wow. Losing to the Browns practice squad. That's about right. That's about right. Just Josh says, Teddy Bridgewater isn't the one making you look dumb. That would be Alligator Arms Murray. No, no, no. Kyler Murray, how many touchdowns did he have against Jacksonville? You're eliminated from greatness when you can't throw a touchdown pass against Jacksonville. So there's no debate for Kyler, the little guy. I know people want to prop him up and all that, but there's no debate. JD and KC says that was a 10 out of 10 on the monologue. We're hearing a lot from the rival NFC West cities here. JD says 10 out of 10 on the monologue. Big Ben, the donkeys are who we thought they were. Everyone else in the AFC West better be scared because we, meaning KC, gave you a head start on purpose. Remember, JD says, this is the Chiefs division. So he said. All right, let's go to the phones. The people would like to speak. It is a call-in radio show, so let's say hello to Rachel in Montebello. Hello, Rachel.
Magnificent Ben. Wee, what a game we had last night.
Well, you're not talking about the football game. You're talking about the baseball game.
I'm talking Dodgers and Braves. Dilly Dilly.
Baseball from Walla Walla, Washington to Kalamazoo.
Dodgers will not give up the fight. We will not go quietly into the night. I swallowed.
Now, as they disembark to fly to Atlanta, and to travel to Georgia. Any advice you want to give the Dodgers here, Rachel, as a motivational, spiritual voice in the head of the Dodgers?
Keep their heads up and don't miss any good pitch. Max Scherzer pitch seven innings at least.
Rachel, the pep talk is don't lose. Don't lose. That's the pep talk. All right?
It is.
Two words, don't lose. That's the advice right there.
Yes, we will survive and win again, Ben. Never underestimate the heart of champions, Ben. Never.
Never? Oh, okay. Well, wait now. If the Dodgers they win game six, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but let's say they get to that game seven. Game seven, Sunday night. And that's not bad because there's really not a great Sunday night game. You got Geno Smith versus Jameis Winston in the Sunday. Oh no, that's Monday. Actually, well, the
game's
Sunday
on
night
Saturday. That Saturday, 2 o'clock Pacific time, kind of early.
It's 2 o'clock. Well,
but I'm saying if there's a game seven, it'll be at night on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday night.
I'm already looking ahead to Sunday. I'm looking ahead to Sunday because on Sunday, the Sunday night game is actually Colts Niners. That's not a good game. So that's I don't need to pay that much.
By the way, how have we been doing on the ratings, Ben? The Dodgers games. I mean, they've been doing well, haven't they?
Well, I mean, it's the blue wave. Come on, Dodger fans, insane. Yeah, the boss, Don Martin, who runs Fox Sports Radio and our affiliate, AM 570 in L.A. He's rolling around in $100 bills.
Don Martin, go, man, go. Woo! Dilly, dilly.
All right. Thank you.
Good night, for the love.
Oh. Whoa.
I swallowed.
Whoa, I didn't see that one come. I was going to thank her for that. Halloween brownies.
Drops.
Yeah.
How were those, by the way?
They're good. I gave them out to everybody. I was trying to, I didn't want to.
I regretted not trying them.
Well, I went in there. I said, here, take whatever you want. I
understand.
Care.
I said, no, thank you. I was, showing willpower, and then you left, and I was like, damn it. Why did I do that?
Yeah. I offered them to everyone. LeVar felt guilty. He's a former NFL player. LeVar comes in after us. LeVar Arrington. He took one. A cookie. He took a cookie. I shamed him into it. I didn't even ask Jonas because I know Jonas wouldn't even touch that.
No, he's so weird.
It's dirty food. He doesn't know where it's from. It's covered in sugar. So he would want no part of that. But no, it was good. I enjoyed it. So thanks.
LeVar probably is regretting coming into the studio. I bring cupcakes a lot, and I force LeVar to take a cupcake every time.
He was talking it up the other day. Koopa's the pumpkin, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't even want it. He's like, but I had to have it.
But by the time LeVar gets done, he's going to be the size of that polo alone.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steph Curry goes for 45 points as the Warriors beat the Clippers 115-113.
Well, you're giving
another
story,
good loss for the Clippers, though.
Well, no, the Clippers outscored the Warriors 86-71 the final 36 minutes of the game.
Nobody cares.
Dominated the last three quarters of the game.
How about showing up at the beginning of the game? Maybe show up at the beginning of the game?
Amazing.
They might actually have won.
86-71 advantage.
Way to show up and do your job.
Who did you say was manna from heaven, Ben?
Was wonderful. That would be the great Eric Bledsoe. My God.
Who had a plus minus of minus 13.
That's good.
The Clippers got outscored by 13 points when he was on the floor. You love talking about plus minuses, don't you, Ben?
Was great. He was wonderful. Hold on a second, Eddie. Wait a minute. Russell Westbrook just missed another shot.
Who's talking about him? We're talking about the Warriors-Clippers game. Why are you bringing that up?
Red herring! Red herring!
Non sequitur.
He starts screaming all of a sudden on the microphone. My goodness.
If you're a Celtics fan living in China...
Yeah.
China. Media outlets have pulled Boston Celtics games off of their airwaves. Why? Because Boston center Enes Kanter spoke out in support of the people of Tibet. He posted a video on social media. He called China's leader a brutal dictator and demanded that he free Tibet.
Wow.
They don't like that.
No, is the NBA now going to condemn, or are the other NBA players saying we don't want to play against the Celtics, so we don't want to play against Kanter because of this? Remember James Harden after the Chinese thing, and he came out, we love China.
We love China.
It was so stupid. LeBron and all those guys. Enes Kanter can now hang out with Daryl Morey. They can trade stories, right? So
we love China. We love everything they're about.
Yeah, James Harden, we love everything they're about.
Yes.
Holy God.
We apologize. We love China. We love playing there.
Yeah, and that was Eddie. I think he was in China. Weren't the Rockets in China or Japan or something like that?
Yeah,
they were
I
on
think
an
so.
International
I
trip.
That
they
was
were,
correct. Yeah. Yeah,
when all that went down.
Well, I mean, he wanted to leave. So
I was gonna say he was in China when he said that.
Yeah. I believe he was.
I forgive him.
We love China. We love everything they're about.
Please let us leave.
Yeah. I want to go home.
I got to admit, if I was in Afghanistan, I love the Taliban. You know, I do the whole thing, right? I mean, let me out of here.
Misunderstood.
Right? You know, it's just, you know, when in Rome, act like a Roman. You got to do what you got to do. All right, it is the Ben.
That's a drop, baby.
No.
Another great Ben Maller drop.
No. I love the Taliban.
No. Don't do me like that, Roberto. I was doing that to make a point. That is what I'm talking about. That's out of context audio.
Yes.
No.
That's awesome.
No. That's
Coochie. Yes.
No, Eddie.
You just made my night.
That's you, Eddie. Eddie, you're number one. You are such a dick. All right. It's the Ben Maller Show. Can you imagine the phone call from Scott? The boss. Scott, so Ben, there's a soundbite of you saying you love. Well, Scott,
you had to be there, Scott. It made sense in the moment.
It was taken out of context, Scott.
I felt like it was a good thing.
It was taken out of context, Scott. I promise you.
All right. We got Maller to the third degree. Why not? Here's the Insta trivia. I'm going to go deep in the trivia bag. So the Raiders have a linebacker named Denzel Perryman. He has had 10 or more tackles in 6 consecutive games. Blank is the only player in the NFL with a longer streak of double-digit tackle games since the year 2000. Again, Raider linebacker Denzel Perryman. He's got 10-plus tackles in 6 straight games. Blank is the only player in the NFL with a longer streak of double-digit tackle games since the year 2000. I'm going to go delete some audio here, and we'll give you the answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Maller to the third degree, right around the corner. Time now for the Insta trivia. So the Raider linebacker Denzel Perryman has 10-plus tackles in 6 consecutive games. Blank is the only player in the NFL with a longer streak of double-digit tackles. This goes back to the year 2000. That's the question. What is the answer? Who do we have? Let's see. Page down. These guys are ridiculous with their responses here. Maller Omar, guessed by Bozo, the district attorney. We have Derek Johnson of Kansas City from the Late Night Drug Tester. Deron Cherry from Chris in Des Moines. Who else? Page down. Steven, a.k.a. Stevie Meatballs, got it right. Bad job by him. Robbie the Mariner fan says it's FSR broadcasting from Afghanistan. Lulu Roman from David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are. Phil Villapiano from, what's it, 00 Mexican there. Who else? Page down, Baghdad Ben from Just Josh. Mike Ditka, guest by J-Dot. Dick Bupkis from Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan. Eddie, do you have an answer, Eddie?
Yes, it's former Cowboys linebacker Dexter Coakley.
That's a good name, but no, it's former Miami Dolphin linebacker Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas back in 2004-05. 16 years ago, had 8 consecutive games where he dominated with 10 or more tackles. Before we get to Maller to the third degree, I did want to say the story out of Cleveland about Baker Mayfield, it ain't good. Jay Glazer had the report, Glazer reporting that in addition to a torn labrum, he also fractured his humerus bone, which is the long bone in your arm. And Baker said to the NFL on Fox's Jay Glazer that he will not be able to return until the bone, the heals. And if you look at the internet, I did some investigating, and the humerus bone, when you fracture your humerus bone, the minimum time it takes to come back is 12 weeks. That's if you're Joe Blow. So minimum 12 weeks, they say. It's an upper arm injury. You got to wear a sling, typically. So good luck. If that's true, if Baker Mayfield's being truthful, then he's done for the year. All right, here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Here we go, Coop Da Loop.
As the Bengals head into Baltimore for an important AFC North matchup, Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey had some high praise for Bengals rookie wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, saying that Chase has made the NFL, quote, look pretty easy. Ben, do you think anyone will end up challenging Chase for rookie of the year?
Well, obviously, at this moment, no. I'm shaking my head, no. Ja'Marr Chase is like secretariat at the Belmont Stakes at this point, and he is stampeded out in front of everyone. The gambling market says there's a 40% chance. I think it's higher than that, that he's the offensive rookie of the year. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level for Cincinnati. Now, I do take what Marlon Humphrey says with a grain of salt, because the Ravens are playing the Bengals this weekend, and so you always kill your opponent with kindness. But the only other players that are even on the outside looking in are Mac Jones with the Patriots and Najee Harris with the Steelers, but they are light years behind Ja'Marr Chase. Next!
Bill Parcells used to say a team is what the record says they are, but Patriots tight end Jonnu Smith says that's not the case for them. Smith said, we're 2-4, but we know we're not a 2-4 team. What do you think, Ben? Are the Patriots better than their record?
No. Bad teams lose close games. Good teams win close games. The Patriots are fortunate they are not 1-5. They're fortunate they're 2-4, not 1-5. They were down big to the Texans, which is a mortal sin. They made that bonehead play against the Cowboys. The Dolphins, you lose to the Dolphins at home because of a fumble. The Buccaneers, you don't manage the clock right. You miss the field goal. Miami's the worst team in the NFL. You can talk the talk, but you got to be able to walk the walk. That's the old line as well. And the Patriots are slowly running out of time. They're at a fork in the road. You got to beat the Jets. You should beat the Jets. Get to 3-4. The Patriots, I looked at the schedule. They got 5 games that they should win just by showing up. That'll get them to 7-10. They got to win at least 3 upsets to get to 10-7, or else they're screwed. Next.
Carlos Correa revealed earlier this week that Reggie Jackson has christened him the new Mr. October. Now, it should be noted that Jackson works for the Astros as a special advisor. Ben, I know you aren't going to get behind a cheating Astro having that nickname. Which current player do you think deserves the label?
Well, it breaks my heart, Coop, as a fan of Reggie Jackson, that this man is selling his soul to work for the devil. I can't believe he's wearing that Astro hat. How sad is that? How pathetic is that for Reggie Jackson? Brand ambassador for the Astros. But, well, today it's Chris Taylor. Yesterday it was Eddie Rosario. It's changing by the day. Like, really, no one is Mr. October. Anybody in the Astros is disqualified because they're a pack of cheaters. And so right now it's Chris Taylor. Yesterday it was Eddie Rosario. Tomorrow it'll be somebody else. How do we do, Koopaloop?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's a winner. Unlike the Broncos, I got the win.